General Motors is in the market for new owners.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. In the next 24 hours or so, General Motors is expected to file final papers for an initial public offering. Selling shares to private investors would change Uncle Sam from a majority owner into a minority owner. Marketplace's Scott Tong is on the line with us live from Washington to explain all this. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, Jeremy.
So are taxpayers no longer going to own General Motors?
They are going to own less. The government during the bailout put nearly $50 billion of public money into General Motors. So far, it's got about $10 billion or so back, and the Treasury could bank another $7 billion from this expected IPO. Now, that still leaves a lot, more than $30 billion the government owns, and its exit strategy going forward is to sell more shares down the road, and hopefully with the stock at a higher price.
And Scott, who's going to buy these new shares?
Well, there's a lot of chatter about foreign investors, among others, including China's largest car producer, which is already a big General Motors partner in China. I just spoke to analyst Bill Russo at the firm Synergistics in Beijing about what this means for GM's future.
GM is transitioning from a North American-centered company to a more global company with a new center emerging in its largest growth market and its largest overall market, which is China.
Now, in China, GM's Buick is one of the top brands there. Talk about an alternative universe, Jeremy. General Motors is already partnering with a Chinese firm in developing a new domestic brand for the China market, and they're looking to move jointly into emerging markets like India. Now, back here at home, the company hopes the IPO will change its image, that it gets away from the government Motors jokes, and that's once again seen as a private sector company, just like the good old days.
So GM's future may be far from Michigan. All right. Thank you, Scott.
All right, you're welcome.
Marketplace's Scott Tong in Washington. BP has returned to profitability. The British oil giant reported a net profit of almost $2 billion today, even as it raised the estimated cost of the Gulf of Mexico oil spill. As Marketplace's Eve Tro reports, the disaster in the Gulf may not be a permanent stain on BP's bottom line.
BP is likely to be a bad guy in the court of public opinion for, well, decades. Past disasters prove that, says energy analyst Phil Weiss.
When you hear the term Valdez, you think of Exxon, even though that was 20 years ago.
The Valdez spill proves another point. The year Exxon coated the Alaska coast with oil, it still saw $3.8 billion in profits. Weiss says BP's bottom line won't take a long-term hit from the Gulf spill either.
While reputation can sometimes depress a stock price, it doesn't really have anything to do with how the business is running.
Which, he says, is still strong. You'd think environmentalists would resent that, but LG Holstein with the Environmental Defense Fund says it's good news the company is healthy.
Those who have claims for damages against BP, including the federal government, will be in a strong position to collect on those fines and penalties.
Even if it takes 20 years, like it did for the Exxon Valdez. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
And let's check global markets. European markets are up about 1% across the continent. It was an up-and-down day on Wall Street yesterday, but the Dow did finish about 6 points higher to close at 11,124. And we just got earnings from a couple of companies. Ag giant ADM and drug maker Pfizer have reported lower-than-expected quarterly results.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation Defender, protecting online privacy by monitoring the web and removing your personal data from websites that sell it. ReputationDefender.com. By Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at Vanguard.com/public radio. And by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 1 million tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
The Space Shuttle Discovery is set to launch for the final time tomorrow. It's one of the three remaining shuttles, which are all facing retirement. NASA is transitioning more of its $19 billion annual budget toward other spacecraft that can travel deeper into space. Paul Barrett has written about the economic consequences of all this for the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week, and he joins us now. Welcome to the show.
Thanks very much.
Well, first, I want to start with a line in your story. 8,000 engineers, technicians, and other employees are going to lose their jobs because of the retirement of the space shuttle. What is this doing to Florida?
Well, what it's doing is making a really terrible economic situation much worse, particularly in the small towns around the Kennedy Space Center on the east coast of Florida.
But as you report, the impact goes far beyond the borders of the state of Florida. This really has to do with American competitiveness.
It does. While the American space program is adrift, the programs in countries such as Russia, China, India are really cruising ahead, and the United States stands to lose a significant portion of the market in the global space industry.
Where does the problem lie?
Well, the problem lies in several places, but one place to start is in the fact that the federal government has come to treat the NASA space program as more of a federal jobs program, spreading resources out across a large number of NASA centers around the country and worrying more about preserving jobs as they exist rather than looking out into the future and figuring out how to best deploy resources. So politics is one big part of the problem.
Paul Barrett, after doing this reporting, do you think that the U.S. will be able to remain the world's leader in space?
I think that is now very much open to question. With rising China, rising India, there's a real serious question whether the United States will remain on the cutting edge in this hugely expensive undertaking that requires centralized and collective action. This is not something that can be done by rugged individuals. Basically, the whole country has to pull together and agree to do this and to spend a lot of money.
Paul Barrett, who's got a big story on NASA in the latest Bloomberg Business Week, thanks so much for joining us.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
And finally, forget installing that expensive home security system. According to researchers at the U.S. Forest Service, planting trees would be a cheaper option to deter crime. The researchers say trees make would-be burglars think the neighborhood is better cared for, so they'd be more likely to get caught, they think. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
It's the economy, stupid. That famous line from the presidential campaign in 1992. But you know what? The president doesn't really run the economy.
Olympia Snow might be just about as important right now as President Obama in terms of ability to create, do things like extend unemployment insurance or pass a fiscal stimulus.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the Freakonomics of how much a leader really matters, and the day's business news next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.